proceed.
Okay, sure. I'm just going to pull up my comments. Okay, so good evening, everyone. I'm Dr. Uche Blackstock, and thank you to Chairwoman Day for inviting me to speak at this critically important briefing. And I'll be speaking a little bit about racialized health inequities in the COVID-19 pandemic. To give you some background, I am an emergency medicine physician. So I work in the emergency room, but I'm also the founder and director of an organization called Advancing Health Equity. The mission of my organization is to work with healthcare and related organizations to close the gap in racialized health inequities and to address racism in healthcare. I originally founded the organization at the beginning of last year prior to the crisis because despite significant advances in healthcare and technology over the last decades, racialized health inequities in this country have been both profound and persistent. I'm speaking to you from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm going to just give a little bit of the U.S. perspective. Black men have had the shortest life expectancy. Black babies have the highest infant mortality rate in this country and the lowest birth weights. Black women, the highest maternal mortality rate. And this trend persists despite socioeconomic status and level of formal education of the mother. Even the chronic stress of living with daily racism results in a phenomenon that's been described as the weathering effect, which is premature physiologic aging of black bodies. Living in this country has essentially made Black Americans sick. And over the last 8 months, we have essentially witnessed a crisis layered upon a crisis as Black communities across this country have borne the greatest burden of deaths from the novel coronavirus. So, as of mid-November, according to American Public Media Research Lab, more than one in 875 Black Americans have died from coronavirus. Black Americans continue to experience the highest actual COVID-19 mortality rates nationwide, about two to three times as high as the rates for white and Asian Americans who have the lowest rates. And if Black Americans had died at the same rate as white Americans, over 21,000 Black Americans would still be alive today. In mid-March, with my own eyes, I noticed the demographics of my patients in the urgent care clinic where I work rapidly shift from a racially and socioeconomically diverse population to mostly Black patients. Many of them were essential workers, bus drivers, subway conductors, grocery store workers. Many also had underlying medical problems like diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma, and many with no other choice but to use public transportation, and many of them displaying typical COVID-19 symptoms. However, at the time in mid-March, we did not have adequate testing supplies to test everyone. I've been a physician for 15 years and have worked in emergency departments with the sickest patients. And I have to be honest with you, I've never been as scared for my patients as I've been over the last 8 months. In particular, I remember an elderly Black man who came in with shortness of breath and fever. His oxygen level was very low. He lived by himself. I was worried about him and told him I would like to call an ambulance to bring him from our urgent care clinic to the closest emergency room. He told me he would not go. He did not want to die in the emergency room, and he told me that he didn't think he would receive good care and felt safer at home. So, as many of you know, this distrust that Black Americans often feel for the healthcare system is not uncommon, and it's based on a historical legacy of centuries of neglect, abuse, and exploitation of Black communities. But also based on current day discrimination and racism that Black people face. So essentially, Black people have been placed at risk to the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic because of manifestations of structural racism, such as lack of access to testing, higher chronic disease burden, and racial bias and discrimination when they seek care within healthcare institutions. One of the main solutions to combating COVID-19 we know is widespread testing that would allow us to cohort and quarantine groups of patients who test positive, so to restrict the spread of disease. However, COVID-19 testing has had limited availability for a variety of reasons due to ineffective federal leadership, bureaucracy of federal agencies, and uncoordinated healthcare system. You know, in my experience, I found it upsetting that celebrities and government officials without any symptoms have been able to access testing quickly with same day results, while I've had to ration out testing to my patients with turnaround times of 5, 7, and sometimes 10 days as a result of backlogs. Because Black people have been forced to carry relatively high chronic disease burdens like diabetes, asthma, and hypertension, we are at higher risk for developing serious complications from the novel coronavirus. And then additionally, when we go to seek care for our COVID-19 symptoms, we are likely to receive, based on the data, worse care than other patients because of a provider bias, because we often are living in neighborhoods with healthcare institutions that have a shortage of critical care physicians, personal protective equipment, ventilators for dealing with critically ill COVID-19 patients. And, you know, we've also seen hospitals reaching capacity. And when hospitals reach capacity and there are scarce resources, they have to decide how resources will be allocated. And so healthcare workers are rationing care. And we know that because of research has shown that, you know, even algorithms that are supposed to be without bias have embedded racial bias in them. There was even an algorithm widely used by health systems up until last year that significantly underestimated the needs of the most chronically ill Black patients, further reinforcing racialized health inequities. And so systemic racism through social and economic policies that have disadvantaged Black people have placed Black Americans at risk for illness and death, and has been the key driving force behind the social determinants of health, which are the factors that determine an individual's and a community's health outcomes. Last June, I testified in front of the U.S. House of Representatives Select Subcommittee on the coronavirus, and I urged subcommittee members to develop policies around housing, around sick leave, around health insurance, and around jobs, to act urgently and swiftly to mitigate the inequities that we still are seeing 8 months into the pandemic. I do think that this unprecedented moment has to be used for structural change and to address those social determinants of health that I mentioned. So safe and adequate housing and affordable housing, gainful employment with sick leave and benefits, access to quality education, access to healthy foods, and finally, healthcare for all that will improve the health of Black communities. I think particularly here in the U.S., and across the world, there desperately needs to be a truth and reconciliation process around the racist policies, economic systems, and social institutions that have left Black lives devalued. I think this is an opportunity to intentionally acknowledge unjustified past and ongoing wrongs, engage with Black communities, and rebuild them equitably. And then maybe, just maybe, the patient that I described earlier, that elderly Black man, would not feel so scared to go to the emergency room for his care. Thank you.